I'm going to ask if you would take your Bibles as the young people are going downstairs and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning in verse 20, and I want to read verse 20, 21, and verse 22. The Bible says in verse 20, "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each one of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, dear God, that you brought us together today to worship. We thankful for this place. We thank you for your people, dear God. I thank you for the church and the called out ones. And Father, as we gather together, not only in this place, but dear Lord, all around this nation and even around the world, dear God, we lift up your name because you are the only one who is worthy of our praise. Father, surround us today as we spend time in your word. I pray that you would be our teacher, that you would speak to our hearts and to our minds, and that you would allow your word to purify us. Father, as we celebrate being washed in the blood, thank you for all that you've done for us, God. Continue to use us. Continue to allow us to be servants of the Most High. Give us what we stand in need of, Lord, and we'll be sure to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Many weeks ago, we began a journey through the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And by now, we know that this particular passage of Scripture has come to be known by many as the Faith Hall of Fame. And what we have before us is a list of men and women who learned what God can do when His people learn to live, walk, and act by faith. And the good news as we study this is we're learning that this isn't a concept that is only for the people of the Old Testament or is lost to us in the New Testament, because the writer of the book of Hebrews is writing to New Testament Christians. That's who we are. It is written for our learning. It is written to challenge us to live by faith. And my prayer is, in the time that we spend together in this text, that we will learn what it means to truly live by faith. Now today our focus is upon the blessing of the faith. As we turn to this particular passage of Scripture that's kind of in between individuals, we see a message on the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are known in the Bible as the fathers of the nation of Israel, or the patriarchs, if you will. And if you continue to read in the Old Testament, you come to the book of Judges, and in Judges chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, "Another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the works which he had done for Israel." And when you keep reading, you see a nation as a result in chaos because we have children who grew up and did not know God. Of all the things that have eroded away in this nation, and there has been a lot, the greatest of all of the things is the erosion of the family. Because whatever holds the heart of the family holds the future. I believe it was Plato who said the story of a nation is the story of the family written large. The erosion of the family is the major cause of poverty. It is a major cause of instability. It is a major cause of immorality and a major cause of mental illness. And by the way, we have a pandemic of mental illness in this nation, yeah, and even in our world. All of this and so much more because the family has failed. This is an election year. Many of us are already nauseated by the thought of an election year. But we need to pray. As God's people, we need to be a part of this process. We need to seek the truth. We need to, above all else, vote our biblical convictions. But even more important and more urgent than who we send to the White House is if we're going to allow King Jesus to rule in our house. Amen. We are living in an unprecedented time in America where the erosion of the family has left no transfer of spiritual blessing to the next generation. We live in a time today where parents have farmed out their responsibility because either they feel like they don't have what it takes, or maybe it's just too big of an investment of time for them. So they have farmed out this responsibility to someone else or something else so they don't have to worry about it. We have farmed out the responsibility of passing down a spiritual blessing to the children of our nation, to the school system. By the way, it was never the school system's responsibility to teach your children spiritual truth. That's your job. We have farmed it out to the church house. Yes, the church has a responsibility, and yes, there is a teaching ministry that takes place. But primarily, you need to understand that passing the faith down goes from parents to children. You have a responsibility. We have farmed out time spent with our children to the many different medias that are out there for children today. And worst of all, above all of these things, we have farmed out our responsibility to the government. As a result, we are raising a generation of children who do not know the Lord nor the works which He has done. You and I have been given a great responsibility, and that responsibility is to pass down a spiritual heritage to our children so that they can be rooted and grounded in the faith. Even if you do everything else right as a parent, but you neglect this one thing, your child's future is in great peril. So what does it look like? How do we pass on this spiritual blessing? Or let's put it in the terms that this is in. Let's talk about a spiritual covenant for a minute. What do I mean when I say spiritual covenant? What is the Bible talking about? Well, maybe to understand this, let's talk about it in a physical sense. Most people have, or at least should have, a well thought out and a well organized will. Okay? If you have ever been involved in a situation where someone passes away and they don't have a well thought out, well organized will, it is a nightmare. Believe me when I say that. Everyone should have or does have a will. It's important. Now, what do you do with a physical will? What do you do with the physical wealth that you've been blessed with? Well, you make sure that there is a transfer of what you own and what you possess to your family for their provision and for their use when you die. Because, folks, the latest statistic on death is 1 out of 1. We're all going to die. I hate to be the one that bears bad news. Unless Jesus comes, you're going to see death. And then it is appointed when the man wants to die and then the judgment. But that's what you do with your physical wealth is what God expects us to do with our spiritual wealth. The sad thing is that we have people who see the value in passing down physical wealth but neglect the spiritual transference of wealth to the next generation. Passing down a spiritual covenant, if you will, means to transfer to your children what they need to learn and live under the rule of God in their everyday life. Simply stated, to teach your children how to live by faith. Adam and Eve passed a curse down to their children. And when they did, when they rebelled against God, they swung the door wide open to the devastation of sin in their family. Think about it for a minute. They rebelled against God, sin entered in, Cain killed his brother Abel, invited heartbreak into the family. All three of the verses that I read by way of introduction says that by faith something was passed down. And the question that we have before us today is, what kind of spiritual heritage are we passing down to the next generation? What are we passing down to our children? The spiritual heritage that they had passed down in this text was the promise of God to Abraham, or if you will, the covenant that they made between one another. God made a covenant with Abraham. It was passed down to Isaac. Isaac passed it down to Jacob. And it went right down the line. A covenant now is a binding agreement. We know that, but in this case, it is a binding agreement that God made with His people. Specifically, God said this: if you agree to walk by faith in me, then I will bless you and I will keep you. But God said, listen, the choice is yours. Choose blessing or choose cursing. Today, we have a generation of children who aren't under the covenant, and the reason they aren't under the covenant is because their mom and their daddy aren't under the covenant. Because obviously you can't pass down to the next generation something that you don't possess. You can't leave your children your neighbor's house if you don't possess it. You have to first possess it. And in order for us to pass the faith down to the next generation, you have to possess it yourself. So, if you have no faith to pass down, then they have no spiritual heritage to receive. If you're following me, somebody please say amen.
Amen.
Our children are being bombarded by evil. They're being bombarded by secularism, and by humanism, and by materialism, and by immorality, and by the redefinition of the things that God Himself has defined. And if your children are not protected by the covenant, then they'll be absorbed by the culture. The choice is yours. Moms and dads, it is your spiritual responsibility to say like Joshua, "As for me and my house," yeah. Or in this context, we could say, "As for me and my house, we're living under the covenant."
Amen.
Amen? Amen? The covenant is a covering. The job of us parents is to give our children a solid foundation. So many times you hear people say, "You know, I want my young person, my son or my daughter, to build for themselves a life that is happy and productive and all of these things." And that's all wonderful. I want my son or my daughter to get a career, to get an education, to grow up and be influential or to have everything that they've ever needed or wanted. And all of that is fine, I guess. I can't see anything particularly wrong with that. But it is not the parents' job to build a life for the children.
That's right.
It is the parents' job to build a foundation that God can build a structurally sound house upon, life upon. That's what we're talking about here today. Now that brings me to the second thing that I want to talk to you about as we talk about passing down, which is we are to pass down the blessing. The blessing. I know when I say that, this seems so Old Testament, you know. It seems so yesterday, like we've left this stuff behind. I'm telling you folks, to pass a blessing down to our young people is as new and as fresh as today's headlines.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20 and 21. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. I find it interesting that Isaac had never realized, neither did Abraham, as far as that goes, they never realized the full promise of God. So they kept passing it down. Because they knew God was good for it. God said, "I'm good to keep my word." So they knew it was coming. They just ain't seen it yet. Right? So Abraham passed it down to Isaac. Isaac passed it down to Jacob. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning on the top of his staff. Passed right on down. Again, in this context, the blessing, folks, I've always said, you've got to study the Word of God in its context or you're going to get yourself into trouble. In this context, the blessing had to do with the passing on of the favor of God through the covenant of Abraham. This is why Jacob and Esau fought over it. It was something to be desired. They both wanted it. They wanted the blessing from Dad on their life because they understood it was representative of the favor of Almighty God. It was the blessing. They yearned for it. God said in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 9, "My covenant is to bless and prosper you." So yeah, they wanted it. The covenant is God's blessing and God's favor being passed down to our children. Now, you're all intelligent people, so you're going to have to make the connection and the application. But let me ask you this. What could we pass down to our children that could possibly be better than the faith? You know, you and I point to things in our society and in our culture. We hear it all the time. In between services, we'll sit out here and people will do this very thing. And we'll point to this thing or this this thing that has eroded in our culture, this thing that's happening in our society, and we look at a people that is bent on rebelling against God, and we'll say, what is happening? What's taking place? But it dawned on me that what we're seeing happen in our nation today is the result of parents who have no blessing to pass down to the children. And it's coming to fruition. We have parents today who have never had someone lay hands on them and pray in the name of Jesus that the rule of God would be transferred to them so that they may be blessed and that they may prosper. It's never happened in their life. And as a result, we got children growing up with parents who've never been blessed and doesn't even have an idea of what it is. So we have chaos. Unblessed parents who can't pass down a blessing that they don't know anything about. Listen, your children need the blessing of God. Amen. Your son is waiting for that blessing. Your daughter is longing for that blessing. And for you to actively pronounce God's favor in their life as they walk in His ways. Now you listen to me. If you're unwilling to bless your children, Satan is happy to curse them.
Right.
Choice is yours. It says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. I don't know if you've ever studied this. I know I got some Bible readers here today. But Isaac was his daddy's boy. Isaac was Abraham's son, and Isaac picked a few things up from his dad. You'll remember when we studied the life of Abraham that he had a couple problems early in life. Do you remember? First of all, he was a liar. He lied. He was afraid, so he told a lie. He told the king that Sarah was his sister. He almost took her in to his harem. And God in a dream came back to him, that the king that night, said, if you touch Sarah, you're a dead man. He said, hey, he didn't tell me. I didn't know anything. He didn't say a word. Get her out of here. He said, I'm blameless before you, God, and you know it. And God said, that's right, but if you touch her, you're a dead man. And this is all because Abraham had told a lie. Guess what? You're not going to believe it. Isaac did the exact same thing with his wife, Rebecca. You remember the woman that he loved so much? He lied and said, well, she's my sister because I'm scared. He was scared. So, Dad, listen to me. You need to know that you pass more to your children than your good looks. You also pass to your children your sinful potential and your sinful proclivities. That's why you better stay right with God so that you don't pass that junk down to your children. Let's talk about Jacob for a minute. Jacob had 12 babies by 4 different women. I believe they would say he's a player. He's a deceiver. In fact, that's what his name meant. That's why God changed his name from heel grabber to Israel. He was a deceiver. He was a manipulator before he met God, and he was confronted personally by God. He was so negligent as a father that he raised terrorists, rapists, and sons who was willing and did sell their own brother into slavery. That's the kind of father Jacob was. And yet, we read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and there he is. Which, dads, gives some of you guys hope. Yeah. Listen, even if your kids are grown, listen to me. You get your life right with God. You get your life right with God. And start living by faith where you are now. You say, it's so late for me. You know, Pastor, I wish I'd have been a better father when the kids were young. Now, I wish you would have been a better father too. I know they wish you'd have been a better father. And God wishes you would have been a better father. Now they're 30 years old. You know what you need to do? You need to go back and make every effort to set things right. Because it's not too late to pass something down. That brings us to the last thing, and something that I want to build upon that last statement. I want to talk about the second chance. The second chance. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. Now, just to be clear, And by the way, I realize that I said Jacob heel grabber. I'm sure that's not what your parents had in mind. But what we're seeing happen here is Jacob blessing the sons of Joseph, who were Jacob's grandsons, right? Hang on. And worshipped, leaning on top of his staff. Now, Jacob, again, here is leaning on his staff because he's old. And because God broke his hip in a wrestling match. You remember the story? Jacob was wrestling, the Bible says, with an angel of the Lord. We talked about who that was last week. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And the angel of the Lord said, you're about 5 seconds from me messing you up bad. And he said, I'm not letting go. And you know, I think that pleases God. Lord, I ain't letting go. The Bible says that he touched his hip and dislocated it. And so he went through the rest of his life leaning on a staff. And here's this old man, Jacob, a much better man now, but he's broken a little bit because he's went through life. And he reaches down and he blesses his grandsons. These are Joseph's boys. Joseph is the son that Jacob, you remember again the story, he made him a coat of many colors. Again, there were mistakes made. And Jacob showed favoritism to Joseph over all of these other boys. And all it did was set Joseph up for trouble. And one day Joseph's out strutting with his coat of many colors. And his brothers had about all they could stand. And they threw him in a well. And when some Egyptian slave traders came, they sold him. They killed an animal, put blood on the coat, and said, Dad, we're sorry. Your son got killed. You know that. Your favorite. Yeah, there were mistakes made. But here's the good news. Because you've made mistakes. Say amen. You've made them. The good news here is this, folks. Once God gives you grandsons and granddaughters, you get a second chance.
Right.
Yeah, this is the thing that I love about the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. All these people made mistakes, and yet here they are. Listed in the Faith Hall of Fame. So maybe you have tried to correct a mistake that was made in the past. But when your kids get 25, 30, 35 years old, sometimes there isn't much you can do to make right a parental failure. But when the next generation comes along, don't shrink back. Learn from your failures. Put it under the blood of Jesus Christ and seize the second opportunity to pass down spiritual influence into your family. Joseph didn't have the problems of his father or his grandfather or his great-grandfather Abraham. Joseph's problems primarily, initially, were related to immaturity. Joseph lived a life of ups and downs, but he came to understand later in life that man meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph was able to forgive his brothers because he saw the hand of God at work in that situation. And then we're told in verse 22, as Joseph neared the end of his life, having spent his whole adult life in Egypt and dying there, that he said to his sons, when I die and you leave this place for the place that God has promised, you take my bones with you when you go. But listen, get this. Joseph lived in Egypt from the time he was a teenager until the time he died. But like his father Jacob, and like his grandfather Isaac, and like his great-grandfather Abraham, he believed the promise of God and told it to his children, passing down the spiritual faith and the covenant one generation at a time, reminding them that God has done some great things. We've seen him do amazing things. We've seen God do incredible things. But the full revelation of the promise is yet to come. So I'm telling you, son, and I'm telling you, grandson, God has made a way for this family. We just haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen the full promise come to pass. But it's on its way. And I think it's important for you, when you see God's hand at work in your life, you make sure your kids know that what God is doing is a down payment to the promise, but the full inheritance is still on the way.
Amen.
Praise God, we have a great future in Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a blessed future ahead of us because of the covenant of God. And God says, I'm going to bless and prosper you along the way. It's my way of showing you I'm good for it. I'm good to keep the promise. I just want to let you know that I'm going to keep my word to you. Hasn't God been good to us, folks? Well, I'm glad you feel that way, because you may not be saying amen and amen. There's one more thing that I want to highlight, and I will be finished. I'm sure you all noticed, as we've studied this, that it was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Joseph's sons. Why? The answer to that question is because in the Bible, the promise was passed down through the men. Hang on. Don't leave. In the Bible, the men raised the children, not the women. Ephesians chapter 6 says, fathers, raise your children. It was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, because men were held responsible. You remember when Adam and Eve in the garden ate the fruit and rebelled against God, and God came in the cool of the evening. What did God say? He said, Adam, where are you? He didn't say, hey, where are humans? He didn't say, Eve, what did you do? No, God said, Adam, where are you? Adam, what have you invited into your family? You have no idea what you've just done. You see, men have been held responsible in the Word of God, and men are being held and will be held responsible today. That's why Satan has inspired the culture to tell young boys and men to deny their masculinity. This is why Satan is telling men to desert their homes, desert their children, desert their wives, desert their unborn babies, and abandon their responsibility. He's trying to remove men so that he can stop the covenant from being passed down. So praise God for all you women who step up and refuse to let Satan have his way in your home. Pass it down to your children. Don't make mistakes. Just like the patriarchs did. They made mistakes. And you made mistakes too. But the Bible says if you train up a child in the way that they should go, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when they are old, they'll not depart from it. You lay that foundation for them children, for those young people, for those babies, for those children. And at least they'll have the option of coming back because you've planted the promise in their heart. I don't know where you're at today, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas. I think we covered it all. But as I said earlier, you can't pass down what you don't possess. And if you aren't living and enjoying a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, folks, you're undone. I mean, you can be a perfect father, you can be a perfect mother, you can do everything right, but if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you are uncovered. You are outside the covenant of God. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And when I talk about in the New Testament church passing the covenant down, I'm talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. If you're here today and you've never given your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, it's decision time. You're an adult here today and you've got children and you're here today. I'm thankful that you're here. I really am. I can't even express how grateful. If I were you, I wouldn't come hear me preach. I'd probably go fishing or something. I don't know. I should have said that. I'm just saying, I'm glad you're here. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's the next step for you. You can come to this church for 50 years, and if you don't give your heart and life to Jesus, you're still going to be lost. You still will have nothing to pass down to your children. I had a preacher tell me when I went into the ministry, he took me aside and he said, listen to me. He said, I want to tell you, if you lose your family, you've lost it all. And so I'm here to tell you today, you have an opportunity. No matter what station, wherever you are in life, don't shrink back from the responsibility. You ask God what he wants you to do so that there's something that you can pass down. Amen?
Amen.
I think it's decision time. So if you'll stand with me, I'd like to pray for you. And if you're here today and you have a decision to make, this altar is open. We could just bow our heads and close our eyes, and I could ask you if you want to be saved to just raise your hand. But that seems like you're ashamed. Maybe I'm wrong, and God would have to forgive me. But Listen, Jesus hung on a cross naked for you. If you're going to come to Jesus, I think it's a good show of faith and love that you step out publicly and say, hey, I'm going to give my life to Jesus and I really don't care what the world thinks.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, God, for this day that you've blessed us with. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that there is a gospel to preach. And the only reason there's a gospel to preach, Lord Jesus, is because you came, you suffered, bled, and died on the cross so that we may have a way to inherit eternal life. This is the new covenant that we have been instructed to pass down. When you ascended into heaven, you said, pass it down. When you stood before the disciples, you said, pass it down. When you called the Apostle Paul, you said, pass it down. When the church was born, you said, pass it down. And Lord, I realize that you have blessed and prospered us in so many ways. And life is such a blessing to know that we have someone like you, God, that we can come to in our times of need. And when we have issues, when we're brokenhearted, all these things we can lay at your feet. But I realize, Lord Jesus, we haven't seen the full revelation of the promise yet. One day, because of what Jesus has done for us, we'll open our eyes in heaven and we'll stand face to face with the one who died for us. And Lord Jesus, then we'll know, at that moment, we'll know that it was worth it. And we see our young people, our sons and our daughters, our grandchildren, standing beside us in heaven because they were under the covenant, under the blood, protected by a decision to walk by faith in Jesus Christ. Then we'll know whatever sacrifice we made doesn't compare to the joy we'll have in our hearts at that moment to know we got them all safe home. Lord Jesus, as we make these decisions now, as we think about these things, as you mingle our hearts today, I pray, God, that you would lead, guide, and direct us and help us, Lord Jesus, to step out and come. In your name we pray.